everybody, and welcome back to your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast. That's right, it's Grey's Academy. I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I'm one of your hosts, Carmen, and it is a beautiful night for a podcast. And she's alive, and she has that birthday glow to her.
I am ill still, I'm going to say. I'm going to be muting this a lot to cough. I have my little lemon ginger honey tea here. I'm full of phlegm, and it's all right in the stage. So it's fine. My throat is on fire, but it's okay. We're gonna do what we can do.
We're
gonna survive. We're gonna thrive. Saw Spider-Man Brand New Day.
No spoilies. Today. I haven't seen it yet.
You still haven't seen it? I thought you were going to see it like 2 weeks ago.
I was, and then I wasn't. But we are going this Friday.
Okay.
We're going this Friday.
Well,
so
next week, we will have a lot to discuss.
Okay. I think I've already been spoiled slightly.
I had no spoilers because I avoid those things like the plague. But also, I will say internet is just, at least my internet, my algorithm does a pretty good job.
Well, it's not even, so. And maybe this isn't a spoiler, but I've been seeing people talk about Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire, which leads me to believe that one of, if not both of them, came back in this movie. But also, like, even my coffee shop had a little Spider-Man themed questionnaire. It was like, who is your favorite Spider-Man? And they had like little tip jars for all three of them. Objectively clever, but it's leading me to believe that all three of them are in this movie.
Here's what I will say: of those three men, I think objectively Tom Holland is the best Spider-Man. He's also getting such a wonderful opportunity to play it from being a teenager into being an adult, which we haven't really seen. Like someone get to play through the high school and into post high school Spider-Maning.
Was Tobey Maguire supposed to be a high schooler?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Also though, the issue is I love Andrew Garfield so much. I love that man so much. Now I just love him. He can sing, he can dance. Now, I will say, I don't know if Tom Holland can sing, but I know Tom Holland can dance. He's going to be Fred Astaire, allegedly, in a Fred Astaire biopic, so I'm excited for that. I do love Tom Holland. Never really enjoyed Tobey Maguire very much. Kind of always irked the shit out of me, but what are you going to do?
It's fair.
I think Andrew Garfield got robbed of his Spider-Man opportunities, because he was just so great. But he was not given a fair Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Those were bad movies. And I am aware of that. I know those were bad movies. But all of Tom Holland's Spider-Man movies are great. I did rewatch them like over the past month or so. And I'm glad I rewatched them. But I don't love this Far From Home one. The one where they're in Europe. I'm like, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, that one was...
That villain didn't really do it for me. I was like, I don't care.
We can, so if anyone doesn't want to keep hearing about Spider-Man, skip ahead 30 seconds. But Kelsey, you can spoil it. We're all three of them in this movie together.
No.
We're two of the three of them in this movie together. No. There were no other Spider-Men in this movie.
No.
And you're not lying to me.
I'm absolutely not lying to you.
Interesting. I really thought that the internet and just like social media had ruined that. I guess it's just they were talking about because it's top of mind for everyone. And it's just interesting.
And I do feel like Andrew Garfield is doing press for something else right now. So maybe people are just capitalizing on that.
Okay. Well, good. I mean, and honestly, if I text you and you've lied to me, then you know, good on you. Good lies.
That's just what this podcast is based after, so
it's fair.
It's not like you can be mad about it.
It's fair. So yeah, but Friday are the swim school. We're in a new swim school with Marlo.
Yeah.
And once a month they do a swim night out where you can drop off the kids for like 3 hours at the pool and the parents can go do date night. And that's, we're going to go.
Yeah. Cutting it close on that 3-hour time frame, though, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick the time frame that starts just a few minutes before drop off. So we're showing up like mid previews.
Yeah.
It's not, what is it, a 2-hour movie?
2.5. Oh. We are started at noon. Well, our movie time was noon. Scarlett gets out of school at 3. So I was like, this movie is 2 hours and 25 minutes. If this movie does not start by 12:30, we will not be able to stay for the end credit scene. And we did not get to stay for the end credit scene because we had to go. It ended, it was like probably 2:50. And we got to the school at 3:01.
Wow.
So.
Okay. So you've given me lots to think about. I need to look into this a little
bit. Be mindful of that.
Be demure.
Of that. In the options of your drop-off and pickup times. Maybe just take separate cars. One of you just go to the movie.
Well, no, I mean, it's fine. I'll look at Friday, and there's a couple showing options around at where we're at. But
yeah,
did you guys see it in standard?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, I don't really enjoy seeing things in 3D. Although,
yeah, I'm with you.
I do think we're gonna try. I'm still very behind. I haven't seen the Odyssey. But we do want to, we have like a traditional, like a true IMAX theater here. And there's only 25 IMAX theaters in the country that are showing the Odyssey in the IMAX the way it was filmed. So I'm like, well, we should do that because we can. And like, that is how he filmed it. That's like how he envisioned it. And I do think that's cool.
And like the 770.
It's literally like floor to ceiling. Like,
yeah.
Life's like larger than life size Matt Damon.
Yeah. And they have one. They have one also 5 minutes from where we live, and we're like,
yeah,
should we do this? Jess can't. She would get vertigo. She can't do that.
Yeah, for sure. It's, yeah.
But I can be
also
immersed.
It's like 3 hours.
Yeah. Because of that, I've been getting a whole flooding on my timeline of Troy highlights.
Mm.
So it's just like every five minutes.
Michael loves Troy.
I know that. I think of him every time because he loves Brad Pitt in that movie. Yeah.
So he loves Brad Pitt, just full stop. Like that's his like number one Hollywood crush.
Good for him.
We did see, so we saw previews. Saw you guys Pitt. Know that I'm not a preview person if it is a movie that I give a shit about. If it is a movie I'm not going to see, I don't care. They did not show the Doomsday trailer, which I was very excited for. They did show the trailer for the new Hunger Games book. Well, the new Hunger Games based on the prequel. I did read the book. I was coming back from the bathroom and I realized it was on. So I just turned around and waited in the hallway for like a minute and a half. They did have a preview for a movie that starts with Brad Pitt and a dog. Maybe a German Shepherd. Actually, not anything of it. And I turned to Michael and I was like, I absolutely will not see this movie. Because you just know that dog's going to die.
Absolutely, it's like, going to die.
And then like the basic, I don't remember what it's called, like One Last Battle or One Last Something. But basically, Brad Pitt was in the war and the dog was in the war with him. So this dog was like a soldier, but also is his PTSD dog. The dog has
fake
teeth.
Needs its own PTSD dog.
They're
right?
Each other's PTSD.
Yeah.
Like companions, yeah. Essentially. The dog has fake teeth because Brad Pitt's like, oh, someone in whatever war, like someone from the other side, like hit the dog in the mouth with a brick and then shot him in the leg. So the dog also has a prosthetic leg. And the guy he's talking to is like, well, I hope you like gave him what he deserved. And Brad Pitt's like, yeah, I shot him in the head. And I was like, correct response. Don't fucking
no,
touch
that's,
a dog.
You got to shoot him in the leg first. And so he feels that and then shoot him in the head.
I was just like, and like, you know, and then all of a sudden they're like in a plane, like a little propeller plane. And then like goes down in like Alaska, I'm assuming. And I'm like, they just have to save each other. I was like, I literally told Meg, I was like, there is not an amount of money I could be paid to watch this movie. Like, I know that dog is going to die. And Michael at the end of the preview was like, I don't think that dog dies. And I was like, they will survive that adventure. And then they will flash forward 5 years and be like, and then the dog died. I can't do that.
The end scene will just be that them in the physical euthanasia room.
Or,
and that's the end credits.
Or Brad Pitt dies, and then the dog like dies of like I can't when I was in fifth grade, we read Where the Red Fern Grows.
Couldn't tell you what that's about.
It's like it's an old ass book. There's like a kid and they have two dogs. One of the dogs like is protecting the kid and like fights a bear or something and then dies.
Okay.
And then the other dog lays down and dies of a broken heart like 3 days later. Okay. Wow. In fifth grade, they had to make me leave the room because I could not stop crying and we had to move on from reading to math. And they were like, we're moving. You've got to get it together. They had to like call my mom to come in to be like, your child's unwell. She won't stop crying about this fictional dog. And then like 2 weeks later, they're like, great news, guys. We're going to watch Where the Red Fern Grows. And I was like, is this a joke? I don't want to do this.
And that was the first time Kelsey was medicated for...
And then I was like, I will be billing you all for my therapy in 20 years.
Yeah, you should, honestly.
Like, so true.
Bill the writers for that book.
Like, the trauma of that book being like just a fifth grade reading assignment. You're really going to have to have eyes on me. So when I mute it, you're going to have to...
Well, I'm just gonna be hacking you coughed and I yawned at the same time. Yeah, so that was true. Just that unfortunate. Was
unpoorly. Unplanned.
Oh, goodness. Well, listen, they should ban all books, honestly.
No.
No, I'm kidding. They should ban all books except for the Donald
dog
Trump.
Dog should never be allowed to die, though, is the moral of the story.
That's,
I will not
that is
see
the
Brad Pitt movie with the dog. And I do believe the dog will die. I don't remember what other previews there were.
I'm still honestly mad at Marley and Me. Because comedy. Owen Wilson, Jennifer Aniston, I think is the two of them in that movie.
I was channel surfing one day and I saw, oh, Marley and Me is going to end in like 20 minutes. And then something else that I want to watch is going to come on. So I'll just watch the end of this. Inconsolable.
Yeah.
20 minutes. I'm not even attached to anybody. And I'm inconsolable.
It doesn't matter.
I can't with a dog. I can't. I don't like it.
You know? That one with Will Smith. I think I'm just going to watch a zombie movie. Mm. Dead German Shepherd. What the fuck is wrong with
won't,
you?
I will not watch the John Wick movies.
Does a dog die?
That's apparently the catalyst for the entire series is someone kills his dog at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. I thought. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. But you only get to see it once and then it's.
Yeah. Michael told me he would just start it after that happened. And I'm like, I don't know. It kind of feels like a hill I'm willing to die on.
Hmm. It's a great. I've heard them. They're good movies. Also, like you really can't. You can't not like Keanu.
Yeah, and also Michael's like, but you love the dog, so you should be on his side. I'm like, I'm not. I am on his side. I just don't want to watch it. I don't want to experience it.
Skip ahead. Skip ahead. Also, sidebar before we jump in, watch the first episode of Ted Lasso.
Same.
So feeling really good about that. It's a money grab.
We've done this before.
It's a money grab.
You and I've had this conversation.
But
I'm
fine.
Like,
I'm fine with
when
it.
When something ends so perfectly, just let it end perfectly.
They
so
said
few,
that
so few things actually end correctly.
Listen, we said this. We said this about Toy Story. Yet I still am okay with another Toy Story movie every 2 years for the rest
of
my life.
I didn't love Toy Story 4. And I haven't seen Toy Story 5, so I can't have an opinion on that.
No, Toy Story 4, you're wrong. Great movie. It's definitely in the top 5 Toy Story movies, for sure.
Mm, I don't know that it is.
Jess and I rewatched that not too long ago in preparation for Toy Story 5 with Marlo. And we both were just crying. Adult
in
tears.
Four?
And at the end of 4.
3 will always get me.
Absolutely.
3's brutal.
I think I shared this story before. I took a girl on a first date to see Toy Story 3 and then never talked to her again.
Do you see these lovely bags under my eyes?
Stunning.
Illness.
They're reusable bags, which is good for the environment.
They've been being reused for 36 years.
All right.
You guys can tell that we haven't talked to each other in 2 weeks. Because we're rambling even more than normal.
And I'm the one who's like, we should talk about Grays. And you're like, let's talk about something else.
Yeah, I actually have more updates to give you.
Do you?
Yeah, insurance denied my sleep study, so.
Oh. You need new insurance, I think.
Well, the doctor's like, well, we just have to do... So, you could do sleep studies at home now. Where they basically just like give you a ring.
I think that's, that's just called sleeping.
Right. So it's mostly like only usable if you have sleep apnea or some kind of breathing issue, because it just monitors like that. That's useless for me. I don't have sleep apnea. That's not my issue. That's established. But insurance was like, you need to do these other sleep studies. You need to make us pay for these other sleep studies before we'll pay for this sleep study. And when they denied it, I was like, okay, well, like, how much is it if I just pay for it out of pocket? And the lady was like, over $7,000. And I was like, okay, fine. Well, then I won't do that. So that's what I've been fighting.
Luckily for you, we live in a capitalist hellscape. If only we listened to Bernie. You know, we've been getting, we're like, we've dropped down to like a 4.8 in podcast and on iTunes. And I don't know what we are on Spotify. I haven't looked for a while, but not that we've dropped. It's just now we have a lot of reviews, and we have actually people like going in there and giving us ratings and stuff, and a ton of fives, but like, you know, maybe like one or two fours, one or two.
Honestly,
threes.
To me, I'm like, that's fine. That means people are like listening enough to have varied opinions. Like if I look at something and I'm like, oh, it's 5 stars, I'm like, what? That's just not real.
Yeah. But
so I like it when it's when there's variance. I'm like, this is lived in. This is real.
But you know, the thing about the twos and ones, you have to wonder, not that this bothers me, but how much of these are MAGA?
Right? It does seem like it bothers you.
Not that this bothers me, but we still have this two star.
But it does keep me awake at night.
We still do have this 2-star one that is like, I could do without the swearing. And this person changed their name to DisneyFan69. I feel, based on their name, I would like this person. You have 69 in your
person,
name?
That person messaged me on Instagram.
Really?
And I investigated, and we would not.
Oh, well, anyways, you have 69 in your name, but you don't think the word fuck is endearing? Fuck you.
That person doesn't think 69 is funny. That person is just old.
Because they were born in 69.
I don't even know. I feel like they are 69, actually. Being born in 69, I'm like, you're not even that old if you're born in 69.
I actually had this conversation with someone today. Anyone who dies before the age of 70, you're young. You die before 70, you're dying young these days. If you're not living to 80s, 90s, hundreds.
Hundreds is exhausting.
Well, I'm looking to live to be 600. That's my goal.
You'll still have Grays to watch, probably.
Yeah. What was I also gonna say? Someone had sent, I guess I should go into the chat here. Someone had sent a video saying, I can finally send this here. And it was a Grays related content. And it was a Christina, it was a Sandra.
Oh, yeah,
O
because
interview.
The week that we did the season finale was like the same week that she went on Jesse Tyler Ferguson's podcast. And obviously talked about Grays and talked about when she was leaving and like the decision. And then she talked about someone coming up to her and being like, I did not marry a man because of like watching the Christina and Burke relationship fall apart and like realizing that that's what we were doing to each other. Which
yeah.
is crazy.
That is crazy.
But good.
I love that.
I mean, art has impacts. Mm-hmm. People like mm-hmm. to think TV shows aren't art, but they are.
People like to think that podcasts aren't art, but
we are.
They'd be right. Oh. Yeah, no, we are. We're art.
We are art. Okay, so we're going to start now that we're 20 minutes in. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
I'm also on cough medication. So we have multiple new Patreons to shout out. So we have Carrie.
Carrie!
We have Emma.
Emma!
We have scrolling. Nay has returned.
Nay, yes. Oh my goodness. Welcome back.
Annalisa,
or there's Annalisa.
Annalisa. Anna. So it might be Sophia. It might be Safia.
Sophia or Sophia.
And that's it. And Jamie recently upgraded because she's
yes, yes, Jamie.
So woo! Yes, many shouts.
That is so many shouts. I love it. That is so many fun shouts.
Oh, and if you're listening and you don't have an accurate Discord link, please let me know because I try and send them out and I don't always know if they go through or not. And sometimes they do go through and people just don't use them and then they expect this link expires. So just let me know. I will happily resend links to anybody.
Also, with the Discord and the Patreon, Kelsey and I are, we've talked about this like months ago, I feel like, but we're always looking to revamp and make things better on the Patreon. We don't have all the answers, but you know, one thing we do try is to talk through things on Discord and be there for you guys. And I know we're not always perfect at making content, but we don't take paychecks, Kelsey and I. So like any money that goes,
we do from our other jobs, not from this.
Yes. Yes. We take no paychecks.
We do make money. It's just not from this podcast. We put all of the podcast money into the podcast.
Yeah. So, any Patreon money, any ad revenue money that we have, it doesn't go to us. It doesn't go in our pockets. It goes right to the podcast. So, like right now we're running a little bit of a Spotify ad campaign, which I think we were running last week or 2 weeks ago now, something like that. So just anything that you guys feel is good and supporting us, like it really is so appreciated. I mean, we appreciate it. You know, don't ever feel like you don't have to do that. You don't have to do the Patreon. If it gets to a point where the money that you have for a period of your life outlined for us to support is now hurting you and your financial situation with your family, don't push through to support us. Your family is more important than this show, and we're not offended. So any money that you guys put in, we are obviously grateful for, but it goes back into trying to find new listeners and new friends. So just so grateful for you guys.
My tea is cold now because we've been talking for so long about not Grey's Anatomy, but that is okay. It's worth it. Let's talk about season 11.
What a whirlwind to start.
We have done it. We have made it a decade. We are now RIP without Chanda and without Sandra Oh. I am heartbroken. I miss Christina. I miss her.
Bring back Christina. Bring back Christina.
And who persists? Fucking Owen. Fucking Derek. These fucking men. There is a fly buzzing around this office. I'm going to kill it at some point. But this episode is number one of season 11. It is episode 221 overall. It aired September 25th, 2014. And it is written by Stacey McKee and directed by Kevin McKidd, whomst is
Owen.
And you know that. And this episode aired to 9.81 million viewers.
You know what's really funny? This is the Marlowe episode. This is 11-1. It's her birthday.
Mm.
So shout out. This episode is dedicated to both my daughter, Marlowe, and all other 11-1 Scorpios.
Mm-hmm. First episode without Christina.
First episode without Christina. This is also dedicated to all Christinas and Sandras.
And Shonda's.
And Shonda's.
And shout out to the worst CGI ever, that helicopter.
Yeah, terrible. Terrible.
Do you love it? Do you love helicopters so much?
They're the horses of the sky. Just killing machines.
This episode was doing a lot while also not doing that much.
It was a lot of intense storylines with very little payoff.
Yeah.
And no
exactly.
real
consequence.
No Thank stakes. You. No stakes. Stakes. That's what I was thinking. Yes. No
Derek
stakes.
Being annoying. Maggie. Here's my thing with Meredith and her stepsisters, half sisters.
Wait,
they just
did we already
the worst time.
They do. Yes. Standing on top when a horse helicopter is about to kill everyone, flying right. into their
like
faces.
You can't even hear anything.
Hi. What? Just read her mouth. She just said hi.
Yeah. Also, just like you were just in the elevator. You're going to get back in the elevator. You're going to work together in this building for a long time. Like, you just don't have to do this right in this exact moment.
Yeah. I also, before I lose this train of thought, when she yells, "Watch out! Who are you talking to?" You should have said, "Oh no!
Ah!
Ah! Look!"
Okay, wait. I didn't read the Netflix synopsis.
I also didn't tell you about the song.
Oh, right. Sorry. This episode is called "I Must Have Lost It on the Wind," and that is a song. Sorry, I forgot how to do this podcast.
It's all right. You've been gone a long time. I've carried the slack for this team for a while.
Well, I was on my deathbed, so.
Well. And your birthday. Your birthday yep. bed. It must have been lost on the wind. What was it called?
I must have lost it on the wind.
I must have lost it on the wind is a song by Elton John. Kind of a weird song. It's like a country song.
Interesting.
Didn't know that Elton John did country songs. Also, that song is from the album The Captain and the Kid. Motherfucker, that was Elton John's 28th album.
This
How
man
many? What is
be
he
stopped.
Doing? He's gonna be dead, and more albums will just pop up. It's gonna be like Michael Jackson. He's gonna just have albums that are coming out
posthumously.
Humously, thank you.
Mm-hmm. 31 studio albums.
31 albums. What? Crazy. I don't even think I could talk about this episode. That's how crazy this is. But that the song of All We Are Is Dust in the Wind is off of the album The Captain and the Kid, which is yes.
Do you mean I must have lost it on the wind?
Yes.
My candle
that's
in the wind.
Literally what I said. 5,000 candles in the wind.
Bye, little Sebastian.
Your 5,000 candles in the wind. Yes, 5,000 Candles in the Wind is by Elton John, 28th studio album. It was released September 18th, 2006, and the song itself did not do anything chart-wise.
Do anything.
Honestly, Elton should have fucking hung it up long. Anything past 27 albums is just too damn much, Elton. You're doing too much. So this album, it reached top 100 in all of these countries: Australia, Austria, Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, reaching number 100 in the top 100. Norway, Scotland, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, the UK, and the US, topping in at number 18 on the US Billboard 200. So pretty darn good. Other notable song. Here's the rest of the songs from that album: Postcards from Richard Nixon, Just Like Noah's Ark, Wouldn't Have You Any Other Way, Tinderbox, and The House Fell Down, Blues Never Fade Away, The Bridge, 5,000 Candles in the Wind, Old 67, The Captain and the Kid, and then there was a UK bonus track download called Across the River Thames, or as the French call it, Thame.
They don't. And we've been there.
We have to France?
Yes.
Okay. I thought you were mentioning the river Thame.
Thames.
Thame.
It's Thames.
The river Thomas.
Okay.
And now it's a quick break for capitalism.
Oh no. Wait, I should read the Netflix synopsis first, and then we can break.
Okay, do it.
Okay. Derek makes a decision about moving to Washington, D.C. Callie in Arizona consider surrogacy, and a new doctor, Maggie Pierce, joins the team.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, capitalism,
tell us about helicopters. We'll be right back. And we are back. If you got an ad for owning your own private helicopter or about helicopter pilot lessons, let us know.
We have gotten a lot of people tell us that they are having AI ads, which we hate.
Like, they're selling people AI?
Yeah. AI programs and that bullshit.
I listen.
Don't. I can't fight you right now.
Okay.
Don't use AI. Anyways, let's
I'm not
talk
gonna
about,
say to not use AI, but I'm not gonna comment on this.
Don't use generative AI. Don't use large language models.
Like English or French.
Don't use ChatGPT. Specifically, Sam Altman is the devil.
I hear they're working with the Pentagon. Like, there's like all
oh,
your
so
data.
Oh, so you love them?
No,
you
I
love
didn't.
Them. You love that. You love that for them. You think they're doing a great job over there?
I don't use ChatGPT. I'm going to start using Claude, which is French for
and
AI.
Doesn't who uses someone else in the government uses Claude? So they're all fucked. They can all get fucked.
Hmm.
And they're all going to find this with their AI bullshit, and I don't care.
Do you think they're at the Pentagon just listening to our podcast?
No, but I think they're telling AI to comb through the internet and find any negative mention of them so that they can throw us in jail.
Mm. They're going to go.
I'm not going to thrive in jail, but I'll still go.
I don't
really do poorly in jail.
Do very poorly. I don't even think they have air conditioners in those cells.
Well, time to sweat it out. Sweat out those toxins, buddy.
Sweat.
But I'm a lady. Okay. So, yeah, Maggie.
I like her. Honestly, this episode, I'm team Maggie.
Yeah.
Meredith was kind of an asshole.
I think I see both sides. I do think Meredith was the things Meredith was getting mad about were things that she also was doing. So look in a mirror, you know, a little self-reflection never hurt.
Look in the pot, you kettle.
Exactly. And, Richard is, you know, obviously all up in his feels about it. What do you think Richard should be doing at this point?
As in what?
With Maggie.
Nothing. Shouldn't be doing anything.
You don't think he should tell her?
There's really no way of knowing.
Right.
Ellis could have been getting it on with anyone.
There are some ways of knowing, though.
Yes. I think that Weber... Yes, probably should have maybe investigated something. I have questions, so I'm going to come back to this thought in a second. But I think at the end when she was like, I don't know why I even care. Like, I've got great parents. I don't need to give any bullshits about these people, unwanting family members. Like, I don't give a fuck. And I think that should be Weber's sign to just kind of like, what's let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah.
I think I was working at Veg already, and I actually said, let dead dogs lie, or whatever the saying is. And they're like, I don't think that's the saying. And I go, honestly, I don't think it is, but I couldn't tell you what the real saying is. So let them dead dogs lie.
Dead dogs lie while you work at a vet is crazy.
Yeah, it was not one of my finer moments. I think I had to dig myself out of the hole after that one. But it's okay. I've succeeded, and I'm doing great.
In the annals of history.
Oh, love the annals of history. And... So, yeah, I think Weber's perspective changes, which rightfully so. I do also think maybe at one point he should be like, I don't know if this is anything, Dr. Pierce. But let's just say
Hypothetically, let's just say I was fucking Ellis Gray constantly.
let's just assume that I might have pierced Ellis Gray. You know what I mean? And go from there. So, yeah, I think that should be a conversation. I also need to understand the way that this opening scene set up was Ellis pregnant and still with Cyrus Bean at the time. And then when the baby came out and that was not a baby from the island of Caucus, they said, oh, I need to give this baby away. And that caused them to divorce? Or were they already divorced and
Do
separated?
You recall that she said that Ellis took her to Boston, and also that Maggie said she was adopted in Boston. And Thatcher was not there for those occasions.
But in the house, like, yes, I did remember that. I guess I'm just wondering about the timeline. Did her and Thatcher were they already separated?
Yes, because Ellis had tried, like, Ellis and Richard were going to leave their spouses for each other. And then Richard was like, never mind. But she had already told Thatcher, good bear.
Okay, so she was pregnant on her own.
I shan't confirm, but yes.
So you are confirming?
Yes, I am.
Okay. That was the part that I just could not remember from the timeline of things.
Yeah, I don't know when they've divulged certain timeline things, and I'm ill, so I can't keep it straight in my mind right now to explain anything to you without spoilers. So
okay. All right.
Maybe I've spoiled something. I don't know.
If you spoiled something, I don't know. I mean, I remember they had they were at the conversation. Wasn't it a carousel episode or something?
The carousel never stops turning.
Yeah. So
they that
did
a lot.
Yeah. I guess as I'm putting this together, she must have been pregnant, figured out that it wasn't Thatcher's, and said, I'm going to leave him to be with you because she was pregnant. Is what I'm gathering, because the flashback that Meredith has is at a carousel.
Do you think that only because she was pregnant, she wouldn't just have wanted to leave Thatcher to be with Richard because they were in love and they
yes,
wanted to be together?
I do think that, but I also am wondering if they're going to flashback and bring back Ellis for an episode where it's Ellis and Richard and her saying, you're going to have a baby. And Richard saying, no.
Do you think that would be in line with Richard's character?
I don't know. I don't remember. There's so much. Richard has been trying to leave this show and retire since episode one that I really don't remember much other than him finally being a good teacher. The man had like almost died at one point. And
multiple times. Because remember
times.
In season one, he had a brain tumor.
That's right. They're just like really trying to kill off Richard.
Okay. The Richard we know now, do you feel like that would be in character?
Yeah, I think he would want to be a dad. The Richard that we know now probably would want to be a dad. Because he was like going to be, he was excited to be Jackson's dad.
Yeah, that was a cute scene.
Yeah, very
cute. Jumping all over the place, but I liked that scene where Jackson gives the ring back and says, like, it would have been nice to have you be a part of the family or whatever he says.
Because basically he didn't have a dad figure in his life.
Mm, so true.
So through all of that rambling, I guess where do we want to just keep talking about the pierce the veil of it all?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm definitely, again, I kind of see both sides with the Maggie Meredith situation. I do think Meredith could extend a touch of grace to someone on their first day. Had this been someone who was running around the hospital and like knew everybody and knew all the ropes and knew how everything worked, I'm like, okay, you have more of a right to be annoyed, but like the level of annoyance and just like no credit that was given to Maggie. And, you know, is there some of it that's like, oh, well, you've replaced Christina, so I'm mad at you. Well, that's not her fault. So get over it. Also, this picks up like the next day.
That was crazy. That was
this is
crazy.
The literal day after Christina leaves.
Yeah, I'm that's like kind of cool. I kind of like that.
Yeah, I like it when shows do that. I think it's fun. It's more, there's more like we get to, there's not as much that we have to just like assume or figure out, because like it's all playing out in front of us. They're not like, oh, we resolved everything off camera. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
Well, what were your thoughts on Richard and AA? And Amelia is also there.
Honestly, I don't like the way that Richard is painting this interaction, because he's like, wow, this is all your fault because you were at AA. And she's like just trying to be sober. And he's got this secret that's like not even really a secret. It's an unconfirmed secret. And he's kind of being a dick about it. He's like, I do better not say anything to anyone. And he's like, I don't need to listen to you. I don't need to talk to you. I don't need anyone to listen. I don't need anything. And it starts out nice. I'm like, okay, I'm glad that you're, you know, going to AA and not going to the bar if that's your only two options with the stress of the situation, which like, okay, I get it. It's a stressful situation. It's crazy. But yeah, I don't need him being mean to Amy or Amelia, either one of them.
Yeah. We got to get you back on that private practice. Good. Because Amelia has some really incredible storylines that paint really important background character information and just backstory for her that I feel like really matters. And I think a lot of people who watch Grey's and don't watch Private Practice don't understand Amelia the way that the writers, I think, assume that people should. And that's how I feel.
I understand her and I like her.
You don't understand shit.
No, her and I, we're like
no,
this.
You don't get it. You don't get it.
Also, what's funny is because this is an audio podcast, I said we're like this, and we can all assume that I did like the finger thing where they're like intertwined.
Did nothing.
Didn't even lift my hand. Didn't even lift my
fucking
hand.
That is what you're like, though. That is actually what you and Amelia are like.
No.
Nothing.
But no, I still did.
Because
I didn't we're like this.
You didn't
Look,
watch
I
Private Practice,
did.
And
like
because
this.
She's a fictional character.
I am watching Private Practice. I, thank you very much, have looked at the title screen of Private Practice at least once.
Delightful. Love that for all of us.
Yeah, and we're going to do another episode next week. Worst case scenario, I will finish all of Private Practice while I'm home on pregnancy leave.
That's true.
Paternity leave. Because I can just go do an episode and I can just record it by myself, like 15 minutes. Man, this shit was crazy. Blah, 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 and then go back to
it. And it will be. Helping. Those people are crazy.
Yeah. Now go back to helping my wife express her bosoms.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Oh, no, definitely.
Maybe not.
I'm already helping her express the bosoms.
Please stop.
I'm just saying, all bosoms are allowed to express themselves.
Okay, anything else about Richard?
It's a cute scene at the end when he gives her the money to, she's like, pierces.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice scene.
Yeah, you know, and at one point, too, something happens with, let me go to my notes here. Something happens
point,
in the show.
Something happens. Did it, though? Not in this episode.
Yeah, I do like at the end, so, you know, Meredith and Maggie, they're fighting, and Alex is like, you do not want to go listen to that.
Yeah, I
shit.
Love just eavesdropping Alex. So funny.
Yeah, so funny. So she's hitting the candy machine. And he's like, yo, dude, you okay? Clearly she's not, bro. Like, come on. And she said, I found my sister and I think I hate her. Yeah, your sister's an asshole sometimes. That's fine. All sisters are assholes sometimes.
So true.
Assholes are like sisters. Sometimes you have two of them.
I don't know about that one.
Well, in this case, I have two sisters.
Yep. So true.
I think that's going to be the next bumper sticker. Assholes are like sisters. Sometimes you have two of them.
And you call Alex because he's Dr. Butthole now.
Doctor, I was born with two sisters. Let's do a surgery. Okay. And then, yeah,
what
she
is
said,
happening?
I don't know. I've not spoken to you in
You're
a long time.
Not even the ill one.
Oh, I'm ill.
Well,
I got a license to ill. You know what I mean?
Man is sick in the head, you guys. You know.
oh, I'm down with the sickness. So Weber just buys her food and she's like, I'll pay you back tomorrow. And he's like, no, it's fine. This is like $2 and I make
millionaires because we're doctors.
So yeah. I'm on the board of this hospital. I will just get the vending machine sent to my house. Okay.
Yes. I own this vending machine, so no worries.
So yeah, it's cute. It's cute. Weber, you know, good guy Weber. Maybe hasn't done a lot to, you know, be great, but he hasn't done anything to be bad for a while, which is good.
Yeah. So. Are you sad about him and Catherine?
Oh yeah, that's right. Jackson brings the ring back. Yeah. I am sad, but partly because the way that they wrote Catherine's character, she would have been the one to bring the ring back to him. Like,
you think so?
Catherine, I don't think they wrote her as she's going to send her son to do the dirty work.
Well, do you think it's dirty work?
I do.
Okay.
I think if you're going to not accept someone's... Let me pause. Weber didn't really propose.
No, he did not.
So I'm also not saying Weber is okay, because you don't just give someone a ring.
I was going to give you this, and now I'm going to leave it on this table and walk out the door.
Yeah. So Weber is also in the wrong, but I just don't think it's true to Catherine's character to mm-hmm. not be the one to hand deliver it and like force him to see her walking away. You know what I mean?
I just don't think. Yeah, I just don't agree.
And it's fully within your rights as an American to be incorrect.
But I am correct.
I'm sure that you believe is that the you issue. Are.
But yeah, I mean, I also like that it gives Richard and Jackson the opportunity to have the cutie scene that they have, where he says, you know, wish you would have been.
I do like that. That's a good point. I also just honestly, I think that the fight that they had didn't seem like a let's not get engaged level fight.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
It seems like two prideful adults not willing to shut the fuck up. Yeah,
it's like it's literally about work too. Like we're fighting because now my hospital can't win this award.
Yeah.
So now we can't be together. Like I don't. And they're like name calling each other like, oh, you're just here to pout because your prize pony didn't win, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, you don't even know me because I would never do that. And I came here to take you on your favorite date and do all these nice things for you because I love you. Which all those things are fine. I just like, yeah, I don't understand the gravity that they gave it.
I want all of you out there in podcast listening land to know that Jessica and I had way bigger fights and we still got married. We have way bigger fights.
They have so many fights.
Well, so many fights is probably a bit.
They
a
are
bit
passionate heinous. Little Scorpios. All right.
That's a good indicator.
These motherfuckers be arguing.
We have spats and squabbles.
They do have those. Anyways, yeah, I agree. It doesn't seem like it seemed like it could be a thing that's like the straw that broke the camel's back, you know, but it did. Like if you're at the point where, oh, I'm about to propose because everything's going amazing, then you shouldn't be at the and here's the final straw. Like I just don't. It doesn't super connect for me. But the scene with Jackson was lovely.
Yeah.
And I like how their relationship evolved through Richard and Catherine's relationship.
Yeah. Agreed. It also did kind of open up that Jackson's dad has not been around and it's been most of his life, if not mm-hmm. all of his life.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely, I can't remember if that was discussed or if it was established on that timeline. So that was...
Catherine said at some point, like, Jackson's dad ran off because it was too much pressure. But I think that's mostly all that's really been said about it.
Yeah, but to me, that was in the context of
the Harper Avery Award legacy and like that mm-hmm. shadow. It mm-hmm. wasn't about being a father.
Right. Unfortunately, those two can't be separated. So if you're running away from your life as an Avery, and that includes having a child, you're also running away from that child.
Yes.
What else was there? Oh, what do you think, like, Jackson's lack of father figure, like, how do you think that will impact him becoming a father?
Well, as someone who also does not have a great father figure, I think you just figure it out. Mm. You know?
I believe
in a thing called love.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I also believe in magic. And
do you believe in magic?
I do. I also believe that there is something that, not all the times, because I think that there's ultimately parents that should not be parents.
Mm-hmm.
I think that most of the time, if you're not ready to be a parent, but you want to be a parent, you just figure it out and like instinct kicks in and just like this overwhelming love that you have just helps you figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I reaffirm that for myself. Like I've always wanted to be a parent and I didn't have the best like guide map to go off of, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of things that I have done to become a better person, become a better father, work on myself, but also like I want that.
Right.
So it just happens.
Do you think people,
Jackson's going to be the same way?
Yeah. Who have like poor relationships kind of go into parenting with their parents, go into parenting differently because they're thinking more along the lines of like, I don't want to be this kind of parent. Whereas maybe people who have more like positive relationships with their parents go in being like, oh, I'm going to parent like da, 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 da.
Yeah, I think that those are your two options, right? Either you have a really good upbringing and you say, I want to replicate that, or you have a not great upbringing and you say, I want to do the opposite of that.
It is crazy, though, because there are a lot of people who don't have great upbringings who still have, like, pretty decent relationships with their parents. And that's crazy to me.
Well, I guess there's also people who have kind of crappy upbringings and then just continue to pass the trauma buck down the line.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's, yeah, generational trauma.
Yeah, we love it. Love generational trauma.
And keeps those therapists in business, that's for sure.
Oof, man. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it can go either way with any of that.
Yeah, I think it's just interesting, like, the mindset of when you go into parenting to be like, oh, I don't want to parent this way versus like, oh, I do want to parent this way. Or my favorite is before you're a parent and you go, I'll never X, Y, and Z. And then like 3 days in, you've already done that. So,
yeah.
Never say never, especially.
Never say never. Although I will tell you, I've been, this is like we've gone into therapy mode, I guess. There is one thing that I have been converted on. I think when we first had Marlo, Jess was of the mindset of there will be no like spanking of our kids. And I was like, mm-hmm. I don't think I could promise that. We haven't raised this child. I can't tell you all scenarios that exist because we haven't been faced with them. So I don't want to make a promise that I can't keep. So I was never able to make this promise of like, no spanking, no, you know, like that. And now, like, honestly, I feel like I probably could make that promise. I feel like I could probably make the promise that I'm not going to hit my kids. As someone who was hit in not the spanking kind of way, I feel like I can probably make that promise. Now, yeah, that's not to say that there's judgment to people who spank their kids. Like, whatever, you do your thing, whatever lesson you think it's teaching your kids, I'm not going to take that away from you. And I also don't know enough about it to agree or disagree. I'm not a child psychologist. I just don't feel in me now that I've like lived that for almost 5 years, I don't know that I feel the need or the want to. But that has changed. That has changed over time because I did not feel that way when I first birthed a child.
Well, you didn't birth a child.
50%. 50% and you shan't. Birth.
So I was always like we're not going to spank our kids. And Michael was like, I will default to you on that. He was like, I probably wouldn't have come to that conclusion on my own, but I'm not going to argue with you on that. Like, I don't feel strongly enough. And I was like, and then as we've had kids, he's like, yeah, no, that was the right call. That would not be solving any problems. I've also I've just seen right in front of me at Disney, which obviously I try and give grace and this is not, no one's at their best, right? Like it's a million degrees. We've slept probably none. We're all off routine. But when you watch a parent, when you watch a kid hit their sibling and then the parent turn around and hit the kid and be like, don't hit. I'm like, that child doesn't have the brain development to process anything worth remembering from what you've just done.
Well, and not to get political here, but Miss Rachel, I think, posted not too long ago about, it's funny how adults teach kids to use their words and not their,
yes,
their fists or their body parts, like don't hit, while the adults sit in a room bombing, killing children.
Yeah.
So
and it's just there's a lot of different things. And I did do one of my, I had a pretty, my minor was childhood development and learning, which is by no means child psychology, but I did do a pretty decent sized research term paper on just different disciplinary actions for kids. And it also just in my opinion, there's a lot of groundwork that is laid very early on. That's I just feel I'm teaching my kid, it's okay if someone who loves you hits you because you've made them mad, because they love you. So it's okay. I'm ooh, I don't know how to correct that. Also, yeah. I will say, I think a lot of people who as children were spanked are the mindset is I was spanked and I'm fine. And so it's kind of hard to to look yourself in the mirror and be am I fine though? I might not be fine.
I'm fine.
And it's also then your parents get all oh, well, I spanked you. Are you saying I wasn't good?
Yes.
I didn't say it. I also, my parents didn't spank me. So, but it was not because I was not doing anything wrong. It was just because I would just immediately, upon the thought of doing something wrong or being in trouble, just crumble and apologize and sob hysterically and just be like, I'm so sorry. Let me fix everything. Blah, blah, whatever.
What happened? What changed?
I got it all out of my system. Let me just say this. My sister was spanked. So
I also do think that there is a difference between, unfortunately, boys and girls and the amount of spanking that takes place. I think boys mm-hmm. get spanked more often than girls.
Yes, which again, look around could be part of the problem of how we are yeah. here now.
Right. So
also I'm just very thankfully we haven't had the hitting issue, knock on wood, for any of our kids. And I'm just if I just start hitting them, I can't then be mad when they're just going around hitting people. Anyways, how did we get here? Parenting. Jackson parenting. Didn't have a dad.
Yep. Also, just before we fully getting things out before the next episode. So I think it's also worth noting with the Richard of it all is that he had nominated Bailey to be the part of the board, mm-hmm. and Alex, it kind of opens with it coming to the head of, they're both Alex and Bailey are waiting for a board meeting that's not happening,
mm-hmm.
but Bailey's like, well, Richard, I don't know if you heard, is going to nominate me to the board, and Alex doesn't fucking matter.
So funny because I'm on the board.
Yeah, I have a legal document that says so, and you just have the word of someone who's not even in this room right now.
Yeah,
so. And then also happening, so that's going to be interesting how Richard is involved in all of that. and how the board votes, because Jackson does say, we only have really one rule, and it's that we need a majority to vote.
Yeah, it sounds like we appoint somebody.
It sounds like you have lots of rules, and also just have a majority vote and bring both members of the board on, which I think is what's going to happen. And then Arizona and Callie, we can talk about this more in the next episode, but they're going through, like, do they want another baby? Does Arizona want to get peer pressured into doing a fellowship for some reason? Like, there's
for
a lot
Gina
of...
Gina Davis.
I don't know. Who's Gina Davis?
I can't. Okay, we have to take a break because I have to go make
is
more
she,
tea.
Is she in a League of Their Own?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay,
like
I know Gina
famous
Davis.
Person. Yeah. Okay. That was who the doctor was that was like, do this fellowship.
Yeah. Gina, I would never have guessed. We'll talk more about her her role in A League of Their Own in the next episode.
Yeah, so I've never seen A League of Their Own, but it's fine. There's no crying in baseball. I do have to go make some more tea, and then we'll come back and talk more about Grey's and maybe less about parenting.
Yeah.
And we will start after everyone's favorite segment.